Today's daf is Bab Matia daf Lamed Aleph. We left off in daf Lamed Amid Beis at the Mishnah and daf Lamed Amid Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about how you identify when something is an Aveda or when maybe the owner just left it there and he plans on coming back for it. So how do you know which is which? And the Mishnah is also going to talk about if a person is going to lose money by being Meshav Aveda, how he can see to it that he gets reimbursed. So the Gemara is going to discuss how long you can assume that a chamar or a para on the derech is not an aveda, at what point you could assume that even if it doesn't look like an aveda, if it's been there long enough, that it might be an aveda. We're also going to talk about hashavas aveda on land. We often think of hashavas aveda as something you do on movable objects. What about hashavas aveda on land? And we're also going to discuss, the Mishnah gives an example of hashavas aveda, of an animal that's an aveda, if it's a para that is ratza ben akra, that's running in a vineyard. Both of those things are unusual. The Gemara is going to discuss, what if it's running but not in a vineyard? Or what if it's in a vineyard but it's not running? Is one factor or the other enough to determine that it's an Aveda? But the majority of the daf is going to darshan double the Shonos that we have in the Torah. It starts with Ashev Teshivim, and that's going to be why we get into the topic of double the Shonos. But we're going to discuss like 10 different times where the Torah has a double Lashon, and what it's teaching me each time. Hakem takim, osumas, hake take, ashev tashiv, chavol tachbol, pasach tiftach, nason titein, hanik tanik, havei tave, all these double shonos you have throughout the entire Torah. It's also going to discuss on the bottom of Amud Aleph why it is that the Torah has to have both a din of prika and a din of Tiina, a din that you have to help unload someone's animal, and a din that you have to help load someone's animal. Aren't they the same din? And once we're on that topic, we're going to talk about if there's a din of Prika and Tiina, why do I need a din of Hashava Saveda? Aren't those the same din? We're going to have to discuss in what way the Gemara thinks they're the same. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about how to assess the payment of a poel batel. That if you want to take payment to be meshav aveda like a poel batel, how do we make that assessment properly? So let's begin the Mishnah Lamed Amud Beis. Ezui aveda. How do you identify something as an aveda as opposed to just something that's there that the owner had placed there and plans on coming back for? So matzah chamar paro roan baderech ein zu aveda. If you see a donkey or a cow grazing on the road, that's not an aveda. The owner knows exactly where it is. The cow's not acting in an unusual manner. That's not an aveda. You could assume the owner knows where it is. Chamar v'kelef hafuchin. But if you see a donkey and the kelim on the back of the donkey are upside down, they're backwards. Para ratza ben akramim, where you see a cow running in a vineyard. Both of those things are unusual. If it's running, it can be lost very easily, obviously. And if it's in a vineyard, it can get hurt very easily, because there are vines all over the place, and there are sticks and poles all over the place, so it's not a place for a cow to run. Harezu aveda. That is considered to be an aveda. Hechziru ubarcha afilu abarav v'chamisha pamim, chayv lachzira. If you keep on returning it, and it keeps on running away, even four or five times, you have to return it. The Shidum Kvetzes quotes the Tosas Shans, why do we have to say four if even five, right? If it's five times you have to return it, obviously four times you have to return it. So he points out that there's a Gemara in Masech HaShabbos Kuf Chavav, Kuf Chav Zayin, that discusses this and says that that's the Derech HaTana, that the Derech HaTana is to write Kiloshon Bnei Adam, and people say four or five when they mean in many, many times. So that's the point. And no matter how many times, you got to keep on returning it. Shemar Hashev Teshivim. That's the double expression, Hashev Teshivim. Hayabatul Misela, if a person had work to do, that he could have earned a Sela doing that work, and now he's going to be taking off that time from work to do Hashem Aveda, lo yomar lo ten li sela. He cannot tell the owner of the aveda, you owe me a sela, because that's how much money I would have been making. You know, I bill by the hour or whatever, and this is my rate, and therefore you have to pay me for the hour I spent in Hashavas Aveda. But rather, give him the schar of Powell, the gear says Kepal Batel, I think. Oh, we have just Kepal, but the Gemara is going to say Kepal Batel. Like the amount of Powell Batel. We'll have to see what exactly that means. Now, if you do want to get reimbursed for all your time that's going to be lost, and assuming the Aved is worth more than that time, so then what you have to do is you have to get a Bezdin together. It doesn't have to be, just get three people together and you make it tonight that I'm willing to be mesh of this aveda, but only al tanai that I get reimbursed for what I could have made. And if there's no bezin, you have no one to make it tanai in front of, so then you go to work instead of instead of being mesh of the aveda, you don't have to lose so much money. So frankly, Gemara, atu kalani damrin lav avedavu. Now, up until this point, haven't we been talking about an aveda? It's a little bit odd that first in daf lamed and beis we say ezo hi aveda, and there are only two examples of what's an aveda in the entire world. So everything else that we've been discussing is not an aveda. So Amar Yehuda hachi kamer ezo hi klal aveda shu chayev ba. What are the rules that determine whether something is an aveda and you're going to be responsible to deal with it? You see a cow or a donkey and it's grazing on the road, not an aveda. You don't have to worry about it. But if it's a chamor with its kelim backwards and it's a cow and it's running in the vineyards, that's a real aveda that you have to deal with. Meaning it has to look like an aveda for you to deal with it. Let's say the cow is grazing in the street and it's, you know, you see a parked car. So a parked car is not an aveda, right? But at what point? It's parked in front of you, it doesn't belong to you, any of your neighbors. It's parked in front of your house for 3 months, 4 months. It gets suspicious at some point. So at what point do you say the cow grazing out there, it's that it's an aveda already? So up until 3 days. 3 days is where we draw the line in terms of whether it's considered an aveda or not. Hechidami. So frankly, Gemara, well, what exactly is the case? If it's at night, it's unusual for an animal to be grazing in the street at night, so even a single moment, you should be sure that it's an aveda. And if it's during the daytime, maybe that's just that's what it does. The owner brings it out to that road every day, so it's there every single day, more than 3 days. That you see it just before sunrise, just after sunset, you see it at a slightly odd times. So if it happens 3 days, for up to 3 days, it could be that it got out during those times. But if it's more than 3 days, then you know that it's definitely an aveda. You find a talus or an axe on a road that people go on a lot. Upara ratza ben akramim, or a cow running amongst the vineyards. Harezu aveda, that is an aveda. But talus b'tzad geder, kardum b'tzad geder, you find a talus or a kardum placed next to a fence, so you see that it was put down neatly in a somewhat private area. Upara roa ben akramim, or a cow running amongst the, not running, but rather grazing in the vineyards. Einzu aveda, that is not considered an aveda. Gimul yamim ze achar ze harezu aveda. But if it's 3 days, one right after the other, then that is an aveda. The Rashba writes, when the Brisa says Gimel Yom Zechazah Rezu Aveda, it's not only going on the Pararoa Ben Akramim, it's also talking about the Talus and the Kardum, that the Talus and the Kardum next to the Geder looks like it was placed down next to the Geder and the owner is going to come back for it. But at what point? 3 days in a row, and then you have to start assuming that he's not coming back for it. So even though the Talus and the Kardum looks like the owner left it there, it could also be after a certain point that he forgot it there. In the Chidushim HaMiyuchasim L'Ritva, he adds that one could asked that even though the kardum and talus is put there derech chinuach, you should at least have to pick it up to be machriz so that other people don't take. If you found it, the guy could also find it and take it for himself. So shouldn't you have to worry about that? So he says that if it looks like the bailam put it there on purpose, so don't touch it because there's as good a chance that the bailam is going to come back and get it. But once it looks like the bailam might have forgotten it, that's when you have to start dealing with it. But that's all according to the Rishonim, that this 3 days is going back on the talus and the kardum as well. The Magen Mishnah is Medayik from the Rambam in Hilchas Gezel Vaveda Perek Tezvav, that the Ram disagrees, that he thinks this whole 3 day thing is only about the cow, because the din of Shloshi Yamim the Rambam mentions by Chamor and Parah Roam Bederach in Halacha Gimel, and then in Halacha Hey he mentions Kardam and Talus, and he doesn't make another chilik between 3 days and not 3 days. So it sounds like the whole 3 day inyan the Rambam understands is only going on the Parah, not on the Kardam and the talus, which are items that don't move on their own and were clearly placed down there, so that you have to assume is there to stay. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Choshe Mishpat that by a talus and a kardum it's not an aveda even la'achar kami yamim, like the Rambam, that there is no 3 day limit on the talus and the kardum. Ra mayim If you see water that's coming about to flood someone's field away, so you should build a fence, build something to block the water. That fits very nicely with the drasha. Rava says is that it comes to include even Avedas Karka. Just by the way, another machlokas we showed him about the 3 days. We said Gimel Yom Zeh Achar Zeh Rezu Aveda. It's also Avedas Peretz, and the Meiri say that when do you assume it's an Aveda? On day 4, you assume it's an Aveda. It has to be 3 full days. But the Drisha is Medayik from the Rif and the Rambam that assume the Shosh Yom Zeh Achar Zeh means on day 3 already it's considered an Aveda. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins that any less than 3 days is not an Aveda. As soon as day 3 hits, it's already considered an Aveda. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, Talasa Yomin, we assume Isrume Isrami Lavinafka, that it's only after 3 days, that only on the 4th day that it's going to be an Aveda, but nevertheless, that's the Shita of many Rishonim. So I'm the Rav Chanan the Ravya, Tani the Masayelach, I'll bring you a Raya that there's such a thing of Hashavas Aveda on Karka. Ra'a Maim Shashot Vinvon, Harezu God the Bivneim. It says, we just had the Brisa, that if you see water that's coming to threaten and flood out the field, so you have to build something. So you see that your drasha of the Lechal Avedas Achicha L'Rabos Avedas Karka is a good drasha. The Braisa also implies that you have to, there's a din of Hashavas Aveda on Karka. Amalei, he says, look, as much as I'd like a raya for my drasha, imishim ha, let's say, if that's the best you could do, if that Braisa is the best raya, that's not really such a great raya. Because hacha b'mayaskinan b'dika omrin. It could be that it's talking about building a fence to block the water from flooding out land when there are things in the land that you're trying to protect. Meaning it may not be about the Hashavas Aveda of the land, but of the piles of grain that are in that land that are going to get ruined from the flood. So that's just Hashavas Aveda on the grain. Then what's the Chiddush? Of course there's Hashavas Aveda on the grain. No, that grain might still require the land itself to it's still attached to the ground. So one might have thought that since it still needs the ground, it's like the land itself, that it's not. But either way, Rav still maintains that it is true that there's a din of Hashavas Aveda on Karka. He just doesn't think that we have a raya from that brisa. Motza chamor upara. So the Mishnah had said that if you find the para running amongst the krumin, then it's an aveda. Hadguf akasha. So it seems to be a stira mina ubei. Amit motza chamor upara roin badera. That if it's roa and baderech, it's grazing, so it's not running, it's just calm, and it's in a safe place, it's on a derech, so that's not an aveda. Ron baderech udlava aveda, haratza baderech. It sounds like if either of those factors were not there, it would either be in a vineyard, which is a dangerous area, or it's behaving dangerously by running. One or the other would be enough to determine that it's an aveda. But Ema Seifa, the Seifa goes on to say, Chamor v'kelef avuchim upara ratza bein akramim arezu aveda. That what makes a cow an aveda? If both factors are working against it, it's acting dangerously in a dangerous place. Ratza bein akramim udavi aveda haratza b'derech. So which is it? What happens if it only has one of these factors? It's running, but it's in the street. Or it's grazing, but it's by the krumim. So Rabbaye Yagid Alavreyo. Tana Roa Bederech, the Lavi Aveda, Vuadin the Roa Ben Akramim. Yeah, it mentions that if it's grazing in the road, it's not an Aveda, but it means if it's grazing anywhere, it's not an Aveda, even if it's grazing amongst the Kramim. Tana Ratza Ben Akramim, the Havi Aveda, it mentions that running amongst the Kramim is an Aveda, Vuadin the Ratza Bederech. Running on the road is also an Aveda. Essentially, what Abaye is trying to tell us is that there is only one factor that matters, and that is it Roa or is it Ratza? I don't care if it's in the Kramim or if it's in the Derech. Yagra Lavraya, we're just giving an example of where you might find it running, where you might find it grazing. But grazing run, or running, that's the sole the determinant of whether it's an Aveda or not. Amrle Rava, Yagra Lavraya, listening Kilasa Vikol Shekhen Chamirsa. If it wants to be Yagra Lavraya, the Mishnah doesn't want to give every example, so why doesn't it give the most Kal example, and I'll learn a Kal Chomer. Meaning, you want to tell me that something that's running is an Aveda, so tell me a Chiddush, that even if it's running in the Derech, it's an Aveda, and I'll know, Kal v'chomer, that if it's running in the Kerem, it's an Aveda. You want to tell me that something that's grazing is not an Aveda, tell me a Chiddush, even if it's grazing in the Kerem, it's not an Aveda, Kal v'chomer, if it's grazing in the road, it's not an Aveda. Listen, Yerotza b'derech, l'avi Aveda, v'kol shkei rotza b'en akramim. Listen, Yerotza b'en akramim, d'lavi Aveda, v'kol shkei rotza b'derech. Elo Amar Rava, so rather the way Rava understands it is as follows. Ratza Ratza Lo Kasha. It's no stira in the diyukim we could make about an animal running, in the street. Running in the vineyard, we said, is definitely an aveda. What about if it's running in the street? So we had opposite diyukim from the Resha and the Seifa. He says, that's not a stira. Hada apa legabe dabra, hada apa legabe masa. We have to look at the direction it's running to. If it's running out to the midbar, that's an aveda. It's running further away from wherever the owner is going to find it. If it's running toward the city, not an aveda. Roa roa nami lo kasha, and it's also not a stira in the implication of what if it were grazing, but in the vineyard. Kanba Vedas Gufa, Kanba Vedas Karka. It depends what Aveda you're worried about. If you're worried about the animal getting hurt, you don't have to worry if it's just grazing in the vineyard. It's not going to get hurt from the vineyard if it's just grazing. But if you're worried about the Avedas Karka, you're worried about the vineyard itself, and you're trying to do Ashavas Aveda on the vineyard, so then, yeah, you should, even if the animal is just grazing in the vineyard, it's likely to do damage to the vineyard. So that would give you a mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. Ki katani ro bederach lo Aveda, haro ben akram mavi Aveda. When do we say that it's an Aveda if it's grazing in the vineyard? Ba'avedas Karka. Not that the cow's an Aveda, but that the vineyard is an Aveda. V'chi katani ratz ben akram mavi Aveda, haro ben akram And when we make the diuk that grazing in the vineyard is not an aveda, b'avedas gufa, that's talking about the cow. The cow is not an aveda. If it's running in the vineyard, it will wound itself. But if it's grazing in the vineyard, it's walking slowly, it's not going to wound itself. Yeah, but still, why would you ever not have to do something if you see a cow grazing in the vineyard? Granted, the cow itself is not an aveda, but the vineyard is an aveda. So how could the Mishnah allow for a diuk that if the cow is grazing in a vineyard, that don't worry about it? That when is there an aveda? Only if the cow is running in a vineyard. Yeah, I understand the cow won't be an aveda, but don't you have to worry about the vineyard? And so Gemara, not necessarily, but the kuti. Maybe the vineyard belongs to a kuti. If it belongs to a kuti, then automatically the cow becomes an aveda, because the kuti might kill it if it sees a cow trespassing in its property. If the practice of the kutim in that place is they don't just indiscriminately kill animals, they first warn the owner of the animal, so then you don't have to worry that it's going to kill it right away. But maybe the owner was already warned, so it still might kill it, so the cow is still an aveda. Yeah, but if it was warned and the owner didn't do anything about it, that's what we call an aveda midas. The owner was negligent in terms of how he cared for the animal. Now the Rishonim write, the Rush and the Chidushim Yichas and the Ritva, that if it were a vineyard shel Yisrael, since you have to take it out of the vineyard, I mean, we spoke about Avedas Karka, you see a cow in a Jewish vineyard, so forget about the cow may not be an Aveda, but the vineyard's an Aveda. Good, so what do I have to do to save the vineyard? I have to remove the cow from the vineyard. Once I'm removing the cow, do I now have a chiyuv to return the cow to whoever its rightful owner is? Or is my chiyuv only klape the vineyard? So the Ritva and the Rosh write that since you have to take the cow because of the Avedas Karka, so now you have to return it to the Bailim. That's the rule, that the second you change the matzav of the behema from what it was, you now took responsibility for that change of the matzav, and now you have to go and return it to its Bailim. The Ritva disagrees. He says, no, it's your kavan over here is only for the toelas of the Gabala Karka, not for the toelas of the behema, and therefore it's not considered that you've begun the mitzvah of Hashava. So all you need to do is remove it from the kerem. The cow is not your problem. Your only issue is just removing it from the kerem. Another major issue over here is this notion of aveda midas. We said that if it's in the kerem of a kuti, and the kuti had already issued a warning to the owner, you better keep your cow out of here. Next time I see your cow on my property, I'm going to kill it. So the halach is, it's an aveda midas. It's not your responsibility to return the cow. Are you allowed to take the cow for yourself? Meaning, what does Aveda Midas mean? Does Aveda Midas mean that it's Hefker, and therefore I could just keep it for myself because the owner is being mafkir by showing his utter lack of care for his possessions? So the Rambam in Gzeilav Aveda, Parakir Alf, Halachir Alf, Paskins, that Hama'avid Mamonu Ladas, Ein Niskakim Lo, if someone is careless with his items, you don't have to do Hashavas Aveda. Va'afal Pishasa Laroa Dover Zalita Liatzmo, Ein Ozakuk Lahachsir. You're not allowed to take it for yourself. It's not Hefker, you just don't have to do Hashavas Aveda. The tour in Choshe Mishpat, some Reish Samach Aleph disagrees. He holds that an Aveda Midas is Hefker. So what's the Svar of the Rambam? So the Beis Yosef writes that the Svar of the Rambam is very, very simple. That there's a big difference between Hefker and being careless. I may not be as careful as I should be with my things. That doesn't mean that I'm making them Hefker, that I'm making them ownerless. It means that I'm not a type of person who takes good care of his items. That's very different than Hefker. So the question is where you draw that line, because Hefker is just like this extreme carelessness. So where do you draw the line between somewhat careless and an extreme carelessness that would be considered Hefker? So anyway, so that's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Torah. The Mishnah had said that if it keeps on running away 4 or 5 times, you still have to keep on returning it. Maybe Hashav means once, and then Teshivim is twice. So, and that's it, only twice. Now, Hashav implies, even from one word, we would already know that it's even 100 times. The Rambam Pirshim Shnai says that Hashav is, in Klali Adiktuk, is that it's in a constant state of needing to be returned. So that's how we know Afilu Mea Pa'amim, that's what it means. It's constant. So it's like Zachar and Shamar. That the tzivui is that the zechira and shmira should be kavuim bilti mishtanim, that they should always be. There should always be a zechira and a shmira. And he says that's what the pshat and the psukim that the Gemara is going to quote going on, the double lashonos, you know, hakem takim, shalech tashalech, azov tazov. So where do we get that all these things have to be done constantly? So he says that lefi klalei adiktok, the one time, present tense, is that it has to be in a constant state of always being subject to return. Okay, so that's we already know 100 times. What's teshivim? Teshivim only al lebeso. Liginasal churvasa minayin. Teshivim I would only know to return it to his house. How do I know that you even return it to his gina or to his churva? Tamalom or teshivim mikal makom. That you return it wherever. Hechidami. So what's the case exactly? Idem mintera pshita. If the place that you're returning it to, the gina or the churva, is a protected area, of course that's okay. Idelom mintera mai. And if it's an unprotected area, why would that be okay? So says Mal Yolim Dimitra, it is a protected area of a Hakamashmal and Dalbin and Das Bailin. And tell me a chiddush that the owner doesn't have to know that it has been returned. Ukhtar Blaza, Damar Kultrich and Das Bailim, Chusme Hashavas Aved, Shatar Ripsa Hashavas Arbe, that everything else would require Das Bailim. If you steal something and return it, the Bailim does need to know that you returned it. You can't just put it back in his property. But if you do Hashavas Aveda, you can just put it back in a protected part of his property, and it's not necessary to let him know that there was a Hashavas Aveda that was done. The Torah is Marba Hashavas Harbe. You see an envelope on the floor in front of a house, and it looks like the mailman dropped it, and you see the address. You could go stick it in the mailbox. You don't have to knock on the door and let the person know, look what a big mitzvah I did that I'm doing. You just put it in a protected area on the property, and that's good enough. That's all you have to do. That's the requirement of Hashavas Aveda. There's no din of Yediyas Bailim when it comes to Hashavas Aveda. Shalech to Shalach. So now we're going to darshan other expressions, double expressions in the Torah. So this is talking about Shiluach HaKein. Eima Shalach HaDazimna to Shalach Trezimni. So I might have thought that it's a double lashon. Tell me, you got to do it twice. The bird keeps coming back, you got to send it away twice. After that, you don't have to do it anymore. Amrlei, no. Shalach HaFilu Me'apam Mashma. Teshalach Ein Li'al Dvar HaRashus. Teshalach is, I would have thought that you only have to do Shiluach if you plan on taking the baby to use for Dvar HaRashus. L'Dvar Mitzvah Minayin. How do I know that if you want to use the baby bird for a Dvar Mitzvah, for a Korban, that you still need to send away the mother? Tamalomer Teshalach Mikol Makom. That's why it says Teshalach. Tell me no matter what your plans are for the baby bird, even if it's for a taras mitzvah, for a karban that you need it, that's still teshalach mikal makom, you have to send it away. That's what Rashi says. The devar mitzvah that we're talking about is the tzipore mitzvah, the birds that you need for the karban of a mitzvah. So Tos Rid quotes the Gemara Maseches Chulin that asks, why, if not for the word teshalach, would we have thought that b'makom mitzvah there's no chiyuv of shiluach? Shiluach is an asay, and mitzvah is an asay. Ein asay docha asay. So why would you think that the asay of mitzvah would be docha the asay of shiluach? Of course, do the shiluach and then take the bird. What's the hava mina? So the Gemara says the hava mina is that the asay of taras mitzvah would be docha the asay of shiluach hakein, because taras mitzvah has an inyan of shalom bayis attached to it as well. Because once the person is no longer a mitzvah, he's mutter lebeis, so he's allowed to be with his wife again. So that's why I need the shalach to tell me that even though one asay is so clearly more powerful than the other asay, the asay of mitzvah is more powerful than the other asay because it has shalom bayis involved, still you have to contend with the other asay of shiluach hakein. You still have to deal with the shiluach hakein. So there are rishonim that raise the question that, you know, it's a machlokas, whether a mitzvah muchlat is asur b'ishto. Is it really an inyan of shalom bayis? This only fits if you hold that a mitzvah muchlat is asur b'ishto. Even though b'yimei sfira is asur, but the sfira brings him closer to his tara, but maybe that's so that would be shalom bayis. But the man di amram mitzor muchlat is mutar b'ishto b'mesfiro. We don't find any daya that's matir. So adrabah, the tziporim are gorim the iser. It causes the iser because it starts the clock on the yemei sfira. So what's the avamina that they asev mitzora? That should be docha mishum shalom bayis. So I say no. Even though mitzor is mutar b'ishto, but he's michutz l'machna, and she's not going to be interested in moving michutz l'machna. So maybe strictly speaking, technically, he's mutar b'ishto, but a shalom bayis is not very good right now if he's exiled from his home. So that's also an issue of shalom bayis, and therefore the din of mitzvah is a stronger assay. It's just amazing that consideration raises it to a different level of an assay. That the consideration of shalom bayis, it's like a whole separate hagdara in halacha, that it's a more powerful assay than a regular mitzvah assay. Maybe the mitzvah of tochiach is they only have to do it twice, and the person wants to keep doing the avera afterwards, so forget about it. Amalei no, hochiach afilu kufpa mashma. Hochiach implies that even 100 times. Tochiach ein li ala harav l'talmid. I need the second tochiach to tell me that I would have thought that only a rebbe has to be mochiach a talmid. Talmud the rav minayin. How do I know a talmid has to be mochiach a rav? Talmud lemar hochiach tochiach mikal makom. That's the double expression of hochiach tochiach. So the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rishonim ask that our Gemara darshins that even a talmid to a rebbe. The Gemara in Arach and Dafta Zaylan Beis darshins that you have to be mochiach even a second time, like our havamin in the Gemara. So which is it? Which is the real drasha? So they say, no, tochiach is a tzivui, that you have to be mochiach everybody, even if he's your Rebbe. And even if you were already mochiach, meaning both of those dinim can be derived from the Lashon of Tochiach. The Mishnah just points out that the Rambam leaves out this din. The Rambam leaves out the din that the Talmud has to be Mochiach the Rebbe. So it's a big question. Why does he leave it out because he doesn't hold of it, or because does he leave it out because he thinks it's obvious that you have a mitzvah, Ben Adam L'Chavero, to any Jew, to give tzedakah, to be Bakr Chol, and to be Menachem Avel. So maybe you have a mitzvah, Ben Adam L'Chavero, to be Mochiach any other Jew. What does it matter? He's your Rebbe, he's not your Rebbe. You'd have to be Bakr Chol if he's your Rebbe. You'd have to be Menachem Avel. So what difference does it make if he's your Rebbe? So is it that he holds that it's obvious, or is it he holds that it's not true, that it's not a Talmud's place to be mochiach the Rebbe? So it's an interesting question, why the Rambam leaves out this din of hochiach tochiach. The Achronim have a difficult time figuring it out. Azov tazovimo, ein li ela ba'alavimo, shein ba'alavimo minayin. I would only know by the mitzvah of prika, this is talking about the mitzvah of unloading an animal, that if the owner is with it, that you have to help out. How do I know that even if the owner is not there? Tamlam razov tazov, mikol makom. That's the double expression. Hakem takim, this is a mitzvah of ti'ina. He's trying to load up his animal. So imo ein li ela ba'alavimo, shein ba'alavimo minayin. How do I know that even if ein ba'alavimo, you still should help him be towing? Tamlam rakem takim, mikol makom. They should always help load up the person's animal. V'lamin l'michtav prika, v'lamin l'michtav ti'ina. Ti'ina. Why does the Torah have to tell me both dinim, the din of Prika and the din of Ti'ina? So Tzrichi Dikas of Rachman of Prika, if it only were to tell me about unloading someone's animal, Hava Mina Mishum Dika Tsar Belechayim Vika Chasun Kis, I would say yes, because if I don't help unload the animal is going to be in distress. That's Tsar Belechayim, plus the animal may get injured, and it's also going to be a loss of money to the owner. But let's say the animal needs to be loaded up. Right now the animal is free, and it needs to be loaded up with packages, and I don't help. So that's not going to cause any Tsar Balechayim of Ti'ina. Tilav Tsar Balechayim Ika, Velo Chesron Kis Ika, the animal is certainly not going to get hurt by not being loaded up. Say Malo, I might think that I don't have to help. V'yashmin Ti'ina, and if it only would have told me that I have to help with Ti'ina, I would say Mishum de Beschar, Avol Prika de Bechinam, Emalo, that's because for Ti'ina I can charge for my services. But because the Rashi points out, Shinolos no Schar, Dikla Madiam Lakaman, Ti'ina Beschar, Prika Bechinam, that yes, there's a mitzvah of Ti'ina, but you're allowed to charge for it. But by Prika, it's a mitzvah, there's no charging for Prika. So I would think that yes, I have an obligation to help because I could charge for it, but to do something for free, to be parik for free, I might think that I don't have to do it Tzricha. That's why I need both of these mitzvos, both the mitzvah of Prika and the mitzvah of Ti'ina. I see very clearly how these mitzvos are related to each other. They both have to do with an animal, they both have to do with packages, loading, unloading. Question is, the next question, which I jumped the gun a little bit. If you're like Rabbi Shimon, that even Ti'ina has to be done b'chinam, then what's the chiddush of Prika and Ti'ina? Rabbi Shimon lo masai mikrai. Rabbi Shimon doesn't think either one of these psukim is so clearly talking about Prika versus Ti'ina, or Ti'ina versus Prika. Meaning he thinks that either of these psukim could be talking about Prika, or either one of them could be talking about Ti'ina. And we just need two psukim so that we can know that both of these halachos exist. That's lo masai mikrai. He doesn't, as Rashi points out, hey mashma Ti'ina, hey mashma Prika. He doesn't have clarity on which one is talking about Ti'ina, which one is Prika. The kasav chadav aminu l'prika asav l'tina lo kasav rachmana lo kasav rachmana idach l'ti'ina. If it only would have had one of these psukim, I would have said, yeah, there's a mitzvah called Prika. I never would have known there's a mitzvah called Ti'ina. That's why I need a second pasuk. But now the Gemara says a totally different question that's a little bit harder to understand. Lomi l'mitzvah hanitarti v'lomi l'mitzvah aveda. Why does it have to mention both Prika Ti'ina and the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda? Shavas Aveda, what does that have to do with Prika Ti'ina? What's the connection? So Rashi says that Prika Ti'ina and Hashavas Aveda are all about protecting someone else's money. So you might think that they're automatically included in the same category. Asks the Toras Chaim, you know what else is about protecting someone else's money? Ganav, Gazlan. I don't know, there are a lot of things about protecting other people's money. So he suggests that the Shorish Mitzvah Prika Ti'ina is Hashavas Aveda. If you don't help him out, he's going to lose his money. And that's Noflim Baderach, that you see, that's why the Pasuk says Dafka, that you see the animal is Noflim Baderach, that it's only Baderach outside of a Makom Yishuv, where what happens if he drops his packages in the middle of nowhere and he has no way to get them back home? So they're going to be lost, they're going to be gone. That's the Hashavas Aveda. It's mamish in Indian of Hashavas Aveda. But if he's at home and he's trying to load up his donkey or unload his donkey, that's not your problem. They're not going to be lost anyway. That is not the part of the mitzvah of Prika Ti'ina. That's what the Toras Chaim wants to suggest, because otherwise he says he has a difficult time trying to associate it with Hashavas Aveda. So Gemara explains, Strichi, we need all of these mitzvahs. Dikas Rachmana Hani Tarti, if it only would have told me Prika Ti'ina Mishum de Tzara de Mari Isa Tzara de Da. Isa aval tsara aval aveda the tsara demari isa vitsara di dalesa a malo. By Prika Ti'ina it's tsar both for the owner and for the animal. But by Hashavas Aveda, it's only a tsar for the owner. V'yeshmin Avedim, if it only would have told me Avedim, Mishum Delesa Lamar Vada, I would say, yes, because the owner is not there, so no one else will take care of it if you don't. Avalhani, that's the very nature of an Aveda. Avalhani Tarti Disa Lamar Vada. But these other two examples of Prika Ti'ina, where the owner is right there, say, Imalos, I would think that it's not, you don't have to worry about it. Tzricha, that's why we need to be told that there's that all of these are in fact mitzvos. Most Yumas Hamakas. Now we're going to go on with many other double Lashonos. So, most Yumas Hamaka. Ainli al b'misa k'suvabo. I would only know that you're allowed to kill someone with the misa that it says about him. Minayin shemiyati yochal misa k'suvabo shatarashe la misa v'kal misa shatiyochal la misa. How do I know that if you're unable to kill him with the misa that he deserves in Beis Din, that you can kill him in whichever which way is going to work? Tamalam most Yumas mikal makom. That's why it says most Yumas. That double expression, tell me however it's going to work.
Kesaket. So it says by Yerani Dachas, they have to wipe out the city. Ainli Alabakok Subaban. I would only know that you use the Misa that the Torah identifies. Minayin Shemiyat Yochel Misan Bakok Subaban Shat Rashi Lakos Mukalakos Shat Yochel. How do I know that if that doesn't work, you could use any sort of Misa? Tam Lomer Hakesaket Mikol Makom. That's the double expression. Hashiv Tashiv, that you have to return a Mashkon when you take a collateral, you have to return it at night. Say Ainli Alashemashkon Bershos Beis, the Mashkon Shalom Bershos Beis Minayin. I would only know that's true if Beis gave you the Mashkon, but let's say you took the Mashkon without Rishos Beis, and how do I know there's still a mitzvah of Hashava? Tam Lomer Hashiv Tashiv Mikol Makom. Chabol Tachbol, again about returning a Mashkon. Ainli Alashemashkon Bershos, Mashkon Shalom Bershos Minayin. Tam Lomer Chabol Tachbol Mikol Makom. So again, that double expression to tell me even if it was not with the Rishos of Beis Din, still you have a mitzvah to return it. Vani Trei Krai Lamili, those last two sounded very similar. Returning a Mashkon, why do I need two separate psukim about returning a Mashkon even when I took a Shalom Rishos Beis Din? So it says more, Chad Luxus Yom V'Chad Luxus Laila. One is telling me about returning the pajamas at night, the other is telling me about returning the daytime clothing during the day. The Achronim discuss, and why do I need both of those? Can I figure out that if you have to return Ksus Yom B'Yom, that you have to return Ksus Laila B'Laila? So you have to say there's something about Ksus Yom that you would have thought is Dafka Ksus Yom, you have to return. And that one is obvious, that Ksus Yom is when you go outside of your house and you're seen in public. So I would think that's much more important to a person that you return Ksus Yom. Whereas Ksus Laila, he's at home, he's in private. So the main thing that you need clothing for is for tznius and for dignity. He doesn't need it as much when it's Ksus Laila as he does Ksus Yom. On the flip side, it gets cold at night. So for the other value that clothing has of providing warmth, so Ksus Laila is much more important than Ksus Yom. So had I been told either one, that you have to return one, I would have said, oh no, Ksus Yom, it's all about the dignity. If it was about night, I would have said, oh, it's all about the warmth, but not about the dignity. So that's why I need to be told both of them. Pasach Tiftach, by the mitzvah of tzedakah, Ainli Alaniye Ircha. I only know from there that you have to give tzedakah to Aniye Ircha. Laniye Ircha Charis Minayin. How do I know that even for poor people from another city? Tamlor Pasach Tiftach Mikol Makom. No matter what. Nason Titein also tzedakah. Ainli Al Matanim Ruba. Matanim Watas Minayin. I would only think that I have to give tzedakah if I could afford to give enough. Let's say I can't afford very much. All I can give is a little tiny amount. So how do I know that I still have a mitzvah of tzedakah? I'm not a wealthy person. You still have to give tzedakah even if you're not such a wealthy person. And no matter what, you always have to give tzedakah. Hanek tanik, ein li alashin esbarich habayis beglalo ma'anikim. Lo nesbarich habayis beglalo minayin. Hanek tanik is a requirement when the eved goes free to give him parting gifts. So I might think, yeah, if he was a really good worker and he helped me out a lot, so then I should give. It's only right, it's only Derech Eretz, that for everything he did for my business, that on his way out, I should give him a nice severance. But if he didn't do anything, he was a good for nothing. So I'm going to give him a severance, I'm going to give him some parting gifts. Yeah, Tamalomer, Anik Tanik Mikal Makom. That's the requirement, that the requirement of Anaka is regardless of how productive he was as a worker. And what if you hold that if he wasn't productive, you don't have to give Hanukkah? Then why do I need the double expression? So now the Gemara says, Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Asks Tosos, we're holding out on that? We can rip out the whole daf of Gemara now. Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. The whole daf was about double Lashonos, and now you're just telling me, Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. That's we can always use double expressions. So Tosos, I don't understand all these drushes that we just had are not drushes if you hold Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. So Tos says, the dafka hacha bahani trei krai, I'm reading the Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, mishum demuchi krai, dechsiv de mechsro, ubi dechsiv ashebracha, meaning from the Pesukim itself, it's going to tell me that you have to do all these things. So when you have a hechrich from the Pesukim, that we would already know whatever the double expression would be coming to teach, then we say Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. But if there's still something for the double expression to teach that's not explicit in the Pesukim, then we don't say Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Then we make whatever drasha needs to be made. Havei Tavitenu, Eli Elashein Lovein Rotzel Esparnes. I would only know that a guy doesn't have and he doesn't want to be misparnes from yours, so from your stuff, so you give it to him as a halva, you give him a loan. He doesn't want to take tzedakah. That's where there's a mitzvah to give a person a loan. The guy doesn't have any money and he refuses to take tzedakah, so lend him the money. Later you'll be mochel. Yesh lo ve'ino rotzel l'sparnes, but if he has money and he's just not interested in using it, he doesn't want to take from you or from himself. He doesn't want to use his own money. Minayin, how do I know you should still lend him money? Tamalomer tavitenu mikal makom. You can still lend him money. A tzedakah is a different story. To give someone tzedakah, if he's got plenty of money, he doesn't want to. So that's already a major discussion in the poskim. You have a person who he's able bodied. He's able to work and he could find a job if he's willing to take the job. But he chooses that he'd rather not work. You have an ani that's of the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based on our Gemara, Yardes and Rishon Gimel Sif Yud, that an usher who starves himself and he's not interested in using his own money because he's so stingy, ain mashkichen bo, ain nosen lo tzedakah, you don't give him tzedakah. It's just pointed out that many of the later achronim point out, you don't give him tzedakah. But it's because he's an idiot, it doesn't mean that his wife and kids should starve. So he should figure out a way to make sure that his wife and kids get fed. So that's a separate issue. And if you say that you don't even have to lend him money when someone's in this, so then what do you do? So there we say that Dibratara Kalashim Adam have a Tavitanu is just an expression. Okay, but we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.